All right, and once again, as previously stated, we are so happy to have Brother and Sister Roseberry who are speaking on our couple's devotion. This family, the Roseberry family, is such a great blessing to our church. From a poet and a singer and their youngest child, Naomi Roseberry, to the young men in Samuel and Jacob who make sure that things are running smoothly in our church, and to the spiritual leadership and example provided by the parents. We are just honored and so happy to have them as a part of our church. With that said, I'm turning it over now to Brother Roseberry. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Can you hear me, Brother Vic?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear, sir.
All right. Great. So in the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 18, the Lord is speaking and he says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." And verses 19 through 20 is a summary of God making all of the plants and all of the things that make up, and the beasts of the field and the animals, and all of the things that make up nature and the environment. And Adam was right in the middle of that, and he was busy, and he got to name the animals, and he got to partake of all these brand new creations. He's the first human being. And God said, "Here, Adam, I've made all this for you." But then God came and said, "You know what? All of these things are good, and man is busy, and he's having lots of fun and lots of excitement. But none of these things are a helpmeet," is what verse 18 says. So in verse 21, it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Verse 24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And so Adam looked at all the animals and all the creation, and he got to name them, and he had a lot of experiences, but nothing could take the place of the woman. And God gave him the responsibility to name all of the animals and all of the things he created. Then he said, "Adam, here's one more thing I've created for you. What are you going to call her?" And Adam said, "Woman." Or some of us might say, "Whoa, man." And so almost 23 years ago, my wife and I were married. And I want to say that we are happily married. And I wanted to take occasion tonight to give honor unto my wife, and she is here in the room with me, and I'm fine with that, and I'm comfortable with that, because I love her, and she loves me. And I wanted to take unashamedly a few moments tonight just to say that she's a wonderful, wonderful wife, and it's not often in public I get to say anything about her, but tonight is that night to just to say that I love you, Marcella, and thank you for saying yes and saying I do. And but I've seen her go through many, many things, but yet I see that my wife still loves God, and she loves people, and she loves our children, and she does these things with her whole heart. And so I wanted to speak specifically to the men tonight, to the husbands, but the single men can listen in and maybe get ahead a little bit. And the single ladies, maybe they can find a few points that they should look for in a man, or at least the potential to get to these points. And so I wanted to share a story. Many years ago, my wife and I were in a very difficult time. It was a stressful time. It was a time of just a lot of undecisiveness, a lot of not having understanding, and we needed to make decisions. And I was on edge, and maybe it doesn't happen to any other husbands, but I got a little bit grumpy and cross, you might call it. The older generations used to call it testy. It's just, you know. And one day she just got, you know, some boldness in the right way. And she told me, you know what? You are right in what you're saying and what you're doing, but you got a bad attitude and you're doing it the wrong way. And how do you expect me to follow you and listen to you? And of course, you know, I got mad and I left, and I just said, God, I began to pray, got my Bible, and I said, God, is she right? You know, show me something, Lord. And I began to get into my Bible, and the Lord reminded me about, this is my scripture that I wanted to really share with you tonight in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And God gave us the first example of a marriage in Genesis, and he said, they are now one flesh. If you're not treating your wife right, it's like you're not treating yourself right, men. Now, I took those scriptures to heart, and I read them over and over and over. Maybe I'm a little more stubborn than other men, or a little slow, I don't know. But I had to read those scriptures and pray and think on them, and I had to humble myself. And I had to tell my wife, I'm sorry. You are right. I'm sure all the wives want to hear that. But it was a difficult situation, and I needed to treat my wife right. I needed to treat her as a Christian. And I'm saying some things tonight, husbands and men, not because I have reached, but because I'm trying to apprehend. I'm trying to reach the mark, but I'm not there. But there is three things I want the husbands to think about. Are they saying to their wives? And is it hard for them? Are you ashamed to say these three things? Let's work on it. And these three things are, I love you, I'm sorry, and compliment her. Give her compliments. There's enough pressure in life, enough pressure in this world already. We don't need to add to that. Now, Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Or, in other words, if you look up the translation, it'll say harsh. Let's not be harsh on our wives. Let's not be hard on them. This world is hard enough. The responsibilities of life, and if you have children, that's hard enough. Let's not be harsh. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. So I read to you Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. This is a special scripture to me that God reminded me of one day and taught me a lesson, and I made things right with my wife because of this. And this second scripture was another one, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, that God led reminding me of, and I needed to study it, to think on it, to read it, to meditate. What a word nowadays, meditate. When everything is so fast-paced, God's word says over and over to meditate. What are we taking time to set our affections upon, to set our eyes on, to set our ears on? And so, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, this is a big one, men, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And all that leads up to what? The end of the verse says that your prayers be not hindered. So I had to study this verse, and I had to get it in my heart, and it's telling me, it's directing me as the husband, that I need to get some knowledge. We can set our minds, husbands, to learn some things about our wife. We're going to learn what works and what doesn't work. We're going to learn what makes them tick. And we can learn to know exactly what their buttons are, and we can learn not to push them all the time and to take advantage of her as being the wife. When the word says the weaker vessel, what it's really talking about is delicate. It's trying to get the point across to the men. You know what, man? It's easy for you to be big and loud and hard, but can you be gentle with your wife? Can you take care of her? Does she feel safe? Does she feel good about what you're doing with the family? And so what it's really saying is, let's be considerate. We don't want to put more on her than she already has. You know, wives are resilient, but God says we need to take care of them. We need to be considerate. This is such an interesting special phrase in verse number 7. It says, talking about the marriage, that we are heirs together of the grace of life. We're going to have some blessings of life together that only come to a marriage. There's a oneness in marriage. It doesn't happen anywhere else. Yes, in body, but in mind and emotions and goals and everything. And God says in his word, you're heirs together. There's a special portion of life that you're going to get to have if you stick it out and take care of your marriage. Now, the end of that verse is something so powerful that I'm sure we are all concerned about. It ends up by summarizing verse number 7 as saying, your prayers be not hindered. I don't know about all you men, but I want my prayers answered. I want my prayers to be effectual, to be the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man. And part of that is I need to treat my wife right. I need to learn. I need to gain some knowledge. If we help our marriage, we're helping our prayer life. Now, most of you all know that I grew up with a single parent, a single mother, wonderful mom, but it's still a single mother. And there was many things. I didn't know anything about being a man, being a husband, being a father. And I want to say with great pride, a good kind of pride, that most everything I know, being a man, being a husband, comes from what I've read in the Word of the Lord, comes from the ministry that's affected my life, and comes from good men in the church. Husbands and men, you might not be on the platform, but you have influence, and you have a work of God to be a good example. And many, many, many men were just good, faithful, hardworking men in my life in the church. And I just made up my mind that godly men were going to be my biggest influence. And so if you come from a single parent background or you didn't grow up in the church, I just want to say it's not a weight and it's not an excuse that you cannot be a good husband. Rather, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God will provide all the things for you to be an overcomer in all areas of your life. Just want to remind you, husbands, love your wives as yourselves. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's all I have, Brother Vic. I'm going to give it to my wife now.
And what a great word. Thank you, Brother Roseberry. And Sister Roseberry, go right ahead.
Can you hear me, Brother Vic?
Yes, loud and clear. Go right ahead, Sister Roseberry.
Well, that was pretty good. I don't know if I could say anything after that. But I had a testimony, and my testimony was talking about when I was a little bit older, when I was a young person in church, and I told you guys stories when I was little and young, but there wasn't always a time that I lived for God. When I was 10 years old, my dad had a stroke. My mom didn't drive, but we got rides to a Trinitarian church, and I didn't even know it at the time that it was Trinitarian. My mom didn't even know what kind of church we were going to. We started getting older, and then I decided this kind of church was getting me all confused. I just didn't want to go anymore. And I told my mom that I wasn't going to go to church anymore, so I lived my life not going to church anymore. But I always felt empty. Like Brother Dave said the other day at church, he said that there's always an emptiness when you don't have the Holy Ghost. And that's how I felt. And I was told I had it as a child, but I never thought I got it. I remember going to the church in the city of Orange when I was just 19 years old. My older sister was already going there, and she had been married to a man in the church there. In my mind, I did not plan on going to church. My sister didn't drive, and her husband was working or something like that. I don't remember exactly where he was, but he couldn't make it. So she asked me for a ride, and I was going to just drop her off. But she said she needed help with her baby and with her diaper bag. And so I told her I wasn't really dressed properly for church, but I'd help her anyway. After I went inside, she asked me if I wanted to stay for prayer. As they had prayer before church, just like in our church, just like our church does now, I started to stay for prayer. And then the next thing I know, an elderly lady in the church, it was my sister's grandma-in-law. She was her husband's grandma. And everybody called her granny. And she said, "Come on to the altar. You need to get your blessing, sister." And I never heard anybody say it like that before at that time. But I listened to her because she was older. I got the Holy Ghost. I remember I got it, and I remember it was the best feeling. I don't know how I got from one side of the church to the other. I remember coming to church after prayer one time and telling my sister after prayer, "This might sound strange to you, but I think I'm going to marry that guy." And I was talking about my husband now. And she just laughed and laughed because he was a song leader at the time. And I was just me. I was new in the church. And I remember she was just laughing like and telling me, "Oh, that'll never happen." I remember how after I got the Holy Ghost, I wanted nothing to do with the world. And I wanted to know God and be close to him. My sister's mother-in-law gave me Bible studies. I kept asking for more and more Bible studies. I think I got like 10 different versions until the church ran out of giving me Bible studies. I learned how to pray. I was getting to the point where that's all I wanted to do was to be close to God. I still watched my husband and saw how he worshiped God with all his heart. Always in the front as a young person, we became friends. And just like Sister Evelyn said, what she did with her husband, they talked about the things of God. And Sister Evelyn also says, choose a mate that loves God above all. And that's what I wanted. Things moved on and on after we became friends. We kind of started to live to like each other. I was in the church a little while then already and decided to talk to the pastor about liking this young man. I didn't know it all the time that he was talking to the pastor as well. Things progressed and we got engaged. After a while, we had some obstacles in our path. my husband and I's personalities sometimes were so opposite. Sometimes even Jacob is like, how did you guys get married? Because sometimes I would laugh at the dumbest things, and he was so serious. At the time, I didn't see how it would work. Sometimes he would stop talking to me, and I would tell God, please, God, if I'm supposed to marry this guy, please let him talk to me. The next night at a youth service, a youth function, not a service, he was the first to talk to me and say, why aren't you talking to me? I was so confused. I remember having an argument with him one night, and I told God, if I'm supposed to marry him, then he's going to ask me tonight. Sure enough, church, I had already been asleep, and there he was knocking on my window. He said, come outside. So I did. Then on one knee, he asked if I could marry him. And of course, I just told God I wanted him to come tonight. So I said, yes. And I just want to tell you, church, that, and this is for the young people too, that it does matter how you pick your spouse. And at times, you know, you think that things won't work out, but you need to lean on Jesus and ask Jesus, because Jesus would always answer my prayers when I would ask him things, even about marriage like this. And there were times when me and my husband had to go through things where we had to make decisions together, and he's helped me, and I have helped him in so many ways that I don't even know how I did it, but God has helped both of us. And today I wanted to say that it's a special day for us, because today is Jacob's birthday. Our firstborn was born on July 17th, and I just wanted to say that God has blessed our lives because I had followed him and I chose to be close to my pastor and talk to him. And I just want the young people to know that God hears, and just keep trusting God, and, you know, he will, like the young ladies and the young men who want to get married, God hears and he answers prayer. And I just want to encourage you guys that as long as you're following Jesus, he will honor that. And I wanted to read a scripture that I had that I was going to read a little bit earlier, but it's in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And that scripture had really helped me throughout my years as a young person when I was looking to get married. So I just wanted to encourage you young people that God does answer prayers. And in my time when I needed to get an answer from God, you know, I just spoke boldness, and it helped me. And I love my husband and he loves me. And because we have a good marriage, I feel like God has blessed us and our kids. And I just wanted to tell you, church, that I love you guys. And that's all I have, Brother Vic.
And it was tremendous, Sister Rosemary. And in the words of Sister Rosemary, that was pretty good, Sister Rosemary. That was pretty good, Brother Rosemary. And it was such a sincere compliment from Sister Rosemary to Brother Rosemary. What a way to compliment the husband to the wife to the husband. And once again, thank you both, brothers and Sister Rosemary, and thank you both for opening up and becoming vulnerable and honest with us so as to benefit other married couples and other couples to be in the future. Praise God. And I want to read a text message that Brother Chris, one of our new converts, just sent over. this is a good word from my elders. What an example it is to younger people coming up in the church. Praise God. Well, church, with that said, we want to remind everybody about the announcement that was made before tonight's devotion, and that is our Unity Boxcar Race that will be taking place at Spruce Park tomorrow and at 11 a.m. But remember, first we have our 10:15 a.m. devotion with Elder Sanders, part two, Elder Sanders. And we got a lot going on, church, but we're trying to do as much as we can. With that said, have a great night to all of you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.